Hello everyone, I'm Dixin Tang from the University of Chicago. Today I'd like to present our work of toward coordination-free and reconfigurable mixed concurrency control. Hardware development has changed the database architecture. A traditional disk-based database is designed for a machine with a few cores, a small memory, and a large disk. In this architecture, disk stores can dominate the performance. However, in the past decade, we have seen the memory capacity has increased dramatically, such that the whole dataset can be kept in memory. Therefore, disk stores are no longer the performance bottleneck in this architecture. On the other hand, the increased number of cores has introduced more concurrent read-write operations, which makes concurrency control become the new bottleneck. Let's take a closer look at concurrency control. Database is accessed by transactions, which is a sequence of read-write operations that should be executed atomically. Transactions are concurrently issued by multiple working threads to access database records. Here, concurrency control is used to coordinate concurrent operations. It has two goals. First, it should interleave concurrent operations to maximize the performance. Second, it should guarantee consistency. One criterion to guarantee consistency is serializability, which means the result of interleaved execution of concurrent transactions should be equivalent to the result of executing these transactions in one serial order. In the past decade, there are many new protocols are proposed, but we found that they are largely optimized for specific scenarios. Consider PARTCC, a partition-based single-thread concurrency control. It partitions the database records and assigns each partition a working thread and a partition lock. If transactions only access records within one partition, it only needs to obtain the partition lock and execute without any more concurrency control. However, if the transaction needs to access records in remote partitions, it needs to request a remote partition lock, which can block other threads. So in this case, cross-partition transactions can hurt the performance. Therefore, we may consider optimistic concurrency control, which means it does not block transactions normal execution, and then validate whether the transaction violates serializability after that. However, in optimistic concurrency control, conflicts can hurt the performance because conflicts can make validation fail, and transactions need to be restarted if the validation fails. In that case, in a highly conflict workload, we may consider two-phase locking, which means it needs to request a record lock before each read-write operation. However, two-phase locking suffers from higher concurrency control overhead and the synchronization overhead, especially in the multi-core setting. We perform an experiment using to test three protocols on our main memory database prototype using YCSP workloads. We find that in different scenarios, different protocols can excel. One general solution to this problem is mixed concurrency control, which means we can incorporate several protocols into one database, and then for each part of workload, we apply a specific protocol. It has two benefits. First, each protocol can process the part of workload it is optimized for. Second, it can be used. Each protocol can avoid being brittle to the workload where it does not perform well. There are two challenges of mixed concurrency control. The first is how to partition the workload and mix multiple protocols efficiently. The second is how to reconfigure a protocol when the workload changes. One previous approach of mixed mixed concurrence control is to partition store procedure by conflicts. A store procedure is a parameterized transaction template. Users can provide parameters to generate transactions. It includes semantic information like the tables to be read or write and the orders of reading and writing tables. The previous approach groups and store procedures by conflicts extracted from their semantic information, assign each group a protocol to process conflicts within that group, and then introduce additional protocols to process conflicts across groups. For example, here are four store procedures grouped into three. Each protocol is assigned for each group, and then additional protocols are introduced to process conflicts across groups. It has two drawbacks. First, it relies on static semantic information, so it cannot adapt to varied workloads. Second, each operations needs to go through multiple protocols, which introduces the overhead of multiple concurrence control execution for a single operation. We take a new perspective of mixed concurrence control. We partition records by access characteristics. For example, if the data set is partitionable, we may use partition-based single-thread approach. And if the database records are lonely conflicted, we can use validation-based. Otherwise, we can use knocking-based approach. In this paper, we present CormCC, a coordination-free and reconfigurable mixed concurrence control framework. Our approach is to partition database records and assign each partition a single protocol. And this single protocol is used to process all operations for that partition of records. It has two benefits. First, it is reconfigurable. The partitioning depends only on real-time data access characteristics, which makes online reconfiguration possible. Second, it is coordination-free, which means no additional protocols are introduced. To achieve the two goals, we need to answer four questions. How does CormCC execute? How to maintain serializability? How to guarantee deadlock-free? And finally, how to enable online protocol switch? Let's look at the first question. In CormCC, we break the transaction lifecycle into four phases, which are pre-process, execution, validation, and commit. We find that most protocols can fit into this four-phase model. If a protocol does not have a specific phase, we introduce a no-op function here. The transaction starts with the pre-process phase. It goes through the pre-process phase of all protocols involved in that transaction respectively. Pre-process phase includes all work you should be done before execution. For example, CormCC needs to obtain the partition logs before that. And then, during the execution, according to which record the operation needs to access, it will be assigned to a specific specific protocol that is used to process it. Finally, it goes through the validation phase and commit phase, respectively. In the validation phase, it validates whether the transaction violates serializability. And commit phase, it applies all rights and makes them visible to other transactions. So the second question is this correct? While each protocol can maintain serializability, CormCC may not. Therefore, we use a property that is shared by many protocols to ensure serializability, which is commit ordering conflict serializable. It is a sufficient condition of serializable. So if it is conflict ordering conflict serializable, it is serializable. And second, it means commit ordering should respect a conflict. Here's an example. If two transactions have a conflict on this record, because transaction one reads the record before transaction transaction two writes it. So transaction one should commit before that. We prove that if all protocols are COCSR, then the CormCC is COCSR, and therefore it is serializable. Proof can be found in the paper. Second, and the third question is how to guarantee deadlock-free. One straightforward method is to use deadlock detection based on a wait-for graph. But this introduces a centralized and additional concurrence control. So our approach is to use deadlock prevention. We request each protocol can only exclusively net transaction wait in no more than one phase. This has two benefits. First, there's no deadlock within one phase because only one protocol can make transaction wait in one phase. Second, transactions in earlier phases can only wait for later phases, but not the other way around, such that we can guarantee the deadlock free. Next, we will answer our fourth question, how to enable online reconfiguration. Online reconfiguration can cause inconsistency. For example, here we want to switch from old CC to new CC for this partition of records. During each working thread can change the protocol when the current transaction finishes. So there's a chance the two working threads are using different protocols for the same partition of records. Therefore, conflicts between the two threads may not be detected. This can cause inconsistency. A straightforward method is to stop all transaction workers after they finish their current transactions. However, this can decrease the performance of a database. So we take a new approach, which is to use a mediated protocol that is compatible to both old and new protocols. Here's an example. Let's say we want to switch from old CC to new CC. First, we let every working thread to switch to a mediated protocol. After that, we switch back to a new concurrence control. During this process, because the mediated protocol is compatible to both old and new protocols, all conflicts can be detected. The question is how to build a mediated protocol. Our idea is to let mediated protocol execute the logics of both old and new protocols. For example, the mediated protocol between OCC and 2PL will need to execute the logics of both protocols. If it reads a record, it needs to read the timestamp and apply read lock. If it needs to write a record, it needs to write to a local buffer and then apply write lock. At the end of the execution, it validates using the validate phase of OCC. We design a prototype that supports part CC from Edge Store, OCC from Silo, and two-phase locking from VLL. VLL is an optimized two-phase locking that removes the centralized locking manager and co-locate locks with database records. We partition the whole database and apply each partition a single protocol. To select the ideal protocol for each partition, we perform engineering by designing several features to capture the performance difference of candidate protocols, including the partition conflicts, record contention, transaction length, and the read write. We built a classifier to predict which protocol should be used for which partition. Next, I will introduce our experiments. We perform all experiments on a machine with 32 cores and 256 gigabyte memory. We use two workloads, TPCC and YCSB. We generate 32 warehouses for TPCC and one table with 1 million records for YCSB. And then partition both workloads into 32 partitions. We compare CormCC with single candidate protocols and the hybrid approach of OCCN 2PL. And finally, a store procedure, Tabelly, a store procedure oriented general framework of mixed concurrency control. We take the configuration from the Tabelly's original paper. And in this configuration, we find that the store procedure of new order and the payment are grouped and are in one group that is managed by runtime pipeline. Runtime pipeline is optimized two-phase locking. Then delivery is in a single group. Order status and stock level are in a group that is managed by snapshot isolation. First, we compare with Tabelly under different partitionability. We start with a well-partitionable workload, which means each partition can receive 100% single partition transactions, and then increase the number of partitions receiving 100 cross-partition transactions, which means we make the workload non-partitionable. We can see that CormCC performs and has significant improvement than other two protocols, and then its performance becomes closer to two-phase locking when the workload becomes non-partitionable. On the other hand, Tabelly performs slightly slower than two-phase locking because of its additional mixed concurrency control overhead. Next, we compare under different conflict rates. We use ZFN distribution and increase its theta parameter to introduce higher conflicts. We find that when the conflict rate is very high, Tabelly can perform well. The two experiments show the trade-off between Tabelly and CormCC. Tabelly can process conflicts more efficiently, but with additional mixed concurrency control overhead. On the other hand, CormCC tries to mix concurrency control with low overhead. Next, we test a varied workload. We vary parameters every 5 seconds and report the result of 100 seconds. We find that CormCC can perform best in almost all cases. Let's take a closer look at this result. We aggregate the throughput of every 5 seconds and report CormCC throughput ratio to single protocols, which are speed up over the worst single protocols, speed up over the best single protocols, and speed up over average throughput of single protocols. We can see that CormCC has significant improvement over single protocols and in most cases it can perform better than the best single protocols. Next, we test mediated protocol switch. We perform a switch from OCC to 2PL using YCSB workloads and report the throughput during the protocol switch. We compare it with a stop-all approach that basically stops all transaction workers. We test a workload with short-only transactions and workloads with one long transactions of different duration, and then test the different switching points at the beginning of long transaction, the middle, and the end of the long transaction. We find that mediated approach can maintain good performance throughout the switch process because it does not stop receiving new transactions. On the other hand, stop-all approach does not receive new transactions, so it does not perform well when one long transaction is introduced. To conclude, we present CormCC, a general mixed concurrency control framework that does not introduce any coordination overhead and supports online reconfiguration. And our experiments show that CormCC can achieve significant throughput improvement over single static protocols and the state-of-the-art mixed approaches. Thank you. I'd like to take any questions.
Thank you. Yeah.
Saurabh Bakshi from Purdue University. So you claim that your CormCC is more general in the sense it can mix multiple different concurrency control protocols, right? So are there cases when the two concurrency control protocols that you're merging to create one mediated protocol have a conflict in them? Like one says do step one first, and another one says do step one or the third step. And in that case, how do you create a mediated protocol?
I don't get what you mean by two protocols have conflicts.
So when you create your mediated protocol, you're combining two, right?
Yeah, we combine two.
So what happens if protocol one says do this thing in step one and protocol two says do this thing in step two?
How can that introduce conflicts?
No, how would you merge these two to create one mediated protocol?
Oh, okay. So basically you execute the both logics of two protocols. There is no conflicts here. Like say, it's very simple. Like say, if you read, because OCC logic basically do the read timestamp and write to a local buffer. So that's what OCC does. But 2PL does a different thing. So they are totally, you just execute the totally two different logics. And I have to note that the two protocols do not share metadata.
I see.
Okay, so they have separate set of metadata. So I think that makes things clear.
Yeah, that certainly helps. Now, a follow-on is how expensive is it to run the mediated protocol so that you can keep up with dynamic changes to the workload?
Yes. How expensive it is keep up the workload changes? So we have the varied workload test here. We find that, so basically we test the we report the features of every second. So this is every point here is a result of every second. So report back to a centralized coordinator that can connect the features of all working threads. And then it detects which partition should be used, which protocol should be used for which partition. Okay? So you can see here, at least it is very fast to react and the workload changes.
That's okay. I can take the rest of it offline. There are more questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm William. I'm from Harvard. And my main question is, when you partition your records into different kinds of OCC controls, what is the chance that when you do this partition, it incurs more overhead due to one of those versions aborting, which causes all the rest of them to have to do aborts and potentially expensive cleanups?
You mean the mult version? Do I support mult version?
So you have your different records, and some sets of records have different kinds of OCC, right? That's
yes.
What you have right now. And with that, it means that they have different abort conditions, correct? So for example, if you have an optimistic concurrence control, it'll abort much later than, say, two-phase locking, potentially.
Yes.
Which means that by the time two-phase locking proceeds to the end, it's already done all this expensive work, and it's ready to commit, but OCC might only find out at the very end that something small might cause it to abort, right?
No, what's the context? You mean if one transaction involves both two-phase locking and OCC?
Right.
At the same time, so because we go through the four-phase, right? So let me show you. So this is very important. Okay. So this four-phase, basically you first need to go through the validation.
Right.
So two-phase locking cannot commit here before
right.
the, yeah. So if the OCC says it violates serializability, it will abort.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you have, say, 100 of these concurrency controls, and 99 of them are two-phase locking, right? So they do a lot of the heavy lifting during execution. And then only one OCC, say there's a small read and write conflict that could be avoided through a different.
Can you say louder?
if there's a read-write conflict in OCC that happens during that's caught during validation, that could have been avoided by another concurrency control method, how much of an expensive overhead is that to abort all the two-phase lockings and retry them again?
Oh, I see. Okay, so we assume that the OCC is used for the low conflict workloads. Okay. So I know, because that's how we select the protocol. Otherwise, it's a wrongly selected protocol. So I mean, I think you're talking about whether the OCC can make the things worse, make the two-phase locking worse.
Right.
I think if you select the wrong protocol, it's possible. But if you select the right, like say the OCC is only used for read-only record, and so there is no problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.